Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. About a week and a half ago, I started a message with you entitled, A Little Leaven. A Little Leaven. And we're going to continue with that tonight. I want to read again the first 8 verses of this passage of Scripture. And I want to continue with what the Lord is sharing with us in this passage as Paul confronts the church at Corinth about what had become full-blown sin, but started out as a little leaven. It started out small, but it was tolerated, and it was allowed to grow until it leavened the whole lump. And so he had to write this letter and a subsequent letter and possibly a third letter to this particular church dealing with things that should not have been taking place there. Dealing with sin that was tolerated, that had started out small, but it had not been dealt with. And I want to deal with this subject of a little leaven, and hopefully over the next few months as we go through this passage of Scripture, and as we look at Luke chapter 12, which deals with the same theme, a little bit different context, but the same theme, that I hope that we'll be able to gather some truths to our heart that will help us. Let's begin reading at verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Now think about how broken Paul's heart was as he had to write those words. You think about a man who had ministered in this church. He had planted this church. They had formed a local church body after several of those, a core of people, had trusted Christ as their Savior. They formed a local church. They had begun their new life in Jesus Christ, and now he's writing a letter to them and said, it is reported commonly, it is open knowledge, that there is fornication among whom? You. All right, the people of this local church. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. The Gentiles had a higher standard than what they had at the church of Corinth. That's how bad things had gotten there. That one should have his father's wife. Here is a son who had taken up living with his father's wife. Not his mother, but his stepmother. That's the language that we have in the original language. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Now that takes us back to verse 2. What have they done? It says, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned. They were rather glorying in this situation. Specifically, the Scripture gives us the idea that they were glorying in their tolerance. Their idea is, we're going to influence this man with our goodness, and we're going to make him better in all of this. But what had happened? It never works that way, does it? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Goodness never overcomes evil. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Evil has to be judged. And that has to be done by Jesus Christ and by the people of God when it's brought to their attention. We have to judge sin. We have to take care of it. And they did not. They were glorying in their tolerance. They were glorying in the fact that this man, they were reaching out to him. They were trying to just overpower him with love and goodness. And as a result, fornication got rooted in the church. Others started following the lead. Said, oh, this is good. If he can get away with it, I can get away with it. And fornication got rooted in the church. Now notice, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? What was they to do? Verse 7. Purge out Therefore, the old leaven. That word old is an interesting word. It's only used a few times in the New Testament. And it's the idea of that which has taken root with time. Old. That which has taken root with time. What does leaven do? It's never stagnant. It starts out small and then it begins to spread. And it works its way through the whole lump and then finally it dominates the entire lump of dough. And what you started out with just a little bit of yeast has now taken over the whole dough. He says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven that ye may be a new lump." How does an old lump become a new lump? You have to get rid of the old one. You have to get rid of it. You can't go through and pick out yeast and say, "Well, there's one. I got that one out." No, you have to discard the whole thing and start again. A new lump. "As ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness." Now, please don't misunderstand that phrase, old leaven, is not saying that this is leaven that's gone bad. This was leaven that was never good to start with. It was an evil that started out and got rooted deeply into the lump. That's the picture about this word old. "Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Father, bless your word tonight as we take these moments together. I pray that you might work in our hearts. Lord, it's so easy to tolerate evil. It's so easy to turn a blind eye to that which needs to be dealt with straight on. Lord, I pray that you would work in my heart. I pray that you would work in the hearts and lives of your people tonight as we consider this truth, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time I mentioned to you that on Colorado's Long Peak, there is the remains of a giant 400-year-old pine tree. 400 years old. It has survived avalanches, snowstorms, ice, all kinds of things. 400 years of age. But what took it down? The little mountain pine beetle, as it's called. You could step on it, crush it, and kill it. It burrowed its way into the bark of the tree, worked its way into the cadmium of the tree, and destroyed it and killed it. That big, grandiose, beautiful, 400-year-old pine tree was gone because pine beetles got into the bark. Just little bitty insects that destroyed the tree. Now, little things, if not allowed to be dealt with, become bad things. I mentioned this last time. Little attitudes may seem insignificant, but if you practice them long enough, they become big attitudes. Little attitudes, when tolerated, become big attitudes. You'll sometimes look at a situation and say, "Wow, I didn't see that coming. I didn't know that that was going to happen." And then you get to dig in the situation and little attitudes became big attitudes. I said, secondly, little indulgences may seem fine at the moment, until you step up on the scales. Step up on the scales and you'd say, "Ooh, those little bitty chocolate things, those sure were good going down, but look what it's done. Look down at those scales." Have you ever had a doctor that always made comments about your scales? I remember back when I was first diagnosed with diabetes, I had lost almost 40 pounds. I had gotten up to too big for my britches, let's put it that way. And I had gotten up to 185 pounds, and my neck was like this, and I had around here. My wife had told me that. I lost 40 pounds in that interim. I knew something was wrong. Something was happening. And so the doctor said, "We got to start putting some weight on." And so every time I went in, checking the weight, you got to start eating this, you got to start eating that, we got to try to get that weight on, get you up to your proper weight, and deal with it. Now, some people, it's the other way. "Oh, we got to get that weight off. We got to do that." I look at those commercials that they have on television from time to time, and they'll say, "I lost 22 pounds with Nutrisystem," all right, or whatever that stuff's called that they do. And it's always chocolate cake, and it's always pizza. And how in this world do people lose weight And they're eating chocolate cake, all the things that I've been told I'm not supposed to have. And they're getting to eat it, whatever. Well, then you see the size, the portion size of those Nutrisystem type chocolate cake. I mean, you have to get out a magnifying glass and look down in the little container there to see what it is and say, oh, where is that steak? You know, it's this little tiny sliver of a steak and a few little vegetables over here. And then you realize that this means business. You know, you're cutting way back on what you normally eat. And all those little carrots that they dangled out there so you could sign up for that Nutrisystem and all those wonderful things you were going to get to eat. And when you're done eating, you're still starving. But then you realize, hey, the only way I'm going to lose weight is to cut down on the calories. Little indulgences may seem fine for the moment, but what happens over time? When you step up on the scales, you realize, I've got a problem here. I got to cut back on those kind of things. If you give place to them long enough, they desensitize you to their effects. Now, I want to put it in the spiritual realm here. We kind of look at the world and we say, there's some nice indulgences out there. And you start dabbling in it. This is where Christians make big mistakes. They start dabbling out into the world. And they start grabbing a hold of that little philosophy and they start doing those kind of things that they didn't used to do before, but now they're doing it now because, you know, everybody's doing it these days. Little indulgences, and before long, you've gotten fat on the world. And now you're in spiritual difficulties. That's what happens. Little wrong thoughts that you don't bother yourself with, but if you keep dwelling on them for long enough, they soon convince you of something that's not true. We have got people today that are turning their backs upon the Bible. People who once stood on this book are now turning their backs on the Bible and they're out in the world and they're doing just about everything they want to do. We've got people drinking now. You say, well, you know, they used to have prohibitions against that kind of stuff, but we're rethinking the Bible and it's all right to drink if you want to drink. So now we got social drinking that's taking over our churches today. And we've got people now in our churches that are having to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, how did that happen? I thought it was a good thing. Now we have the first church of cannabis that got a tax-exempt status with the federal government. Did you hear about that yesterday? They got granted a tax. The first church of cannabis has one parishioner right now. It's a guy that smokes marijuana. He applied with the IRS and he got tax-exempt. Now, there's a lot of churches or people, ministries have been trying to get tax-exempt status for years now, can't get it, but he got it in 2 months. Isn't that interesting? So now they have, you can worship at the Church of Cannabis and you can bring along your marijuana and you can get high together, and that's a wonderful thing today. Everything's been turned upside down in this world, and people in church are turning the Bible upside down. Flipping it over, cover out, I'm going to do whatever I want to do and call it Christian. Listen, you know how a person gets to that place? Little things. How did they get to that place where they at one time said, you know what? Bible says that we're not to be drunk with wine. We're in his excess. Next thing you know, we're over here drinking wine. We're drinking coolers. We're getting in all that kind of stuff. And we're starting imbibing that kind of stuff. How did we do it? It was little steps, pulling away from the Scriptures. Start excusing things. Well, it's not a big deal. Oh, it will become a big deal. Let me tell you something, how it will happen. You take little steps, your children take big steps with it. Always happens. Always happens. Your children see it, they'll go much further in what you tolerate than what you did because you had the background of staying away from the stuff. But then the children say, well, it was all right with Mom and Dad. I think I'll do it. Next thing you know, I've seen this play out so many times. I ran into a young man that was in this church in my youth group years ago. Walked up behind him. He had a huge case of beer. Walked up behind him. Face red as a beet. Alcohol face, I call it. I tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around, jerked back. Huh, Mr. Brainerd! As he was trying to cover his beer with his back. Mr. Brainerd, how you doing? Yeah. What you got there? Oh, just a little something to numb the day, what he said. To numb the day. I said, yeah, it'll numb your day, but it'll destroy your life. I know. I need to check out. I need to get back to my truck. And that was the end of the conversation. His life has been nothing but ruin. Been married twice, divorced twice, lost everything that he's had, had to declare bankruptcy, and he's got money now to go down there and buy alcohol. But when you look back into the family's life, you see there was an alcohol problem that was there, quietly kept thing. And now in the children, it's full blown. Full blown. Where did it start? Little things. Little things that were loud. The leaven grew. Leaven in the Scripture is never good. There's never a good thing said about leaven in the Bible. That way a biblical principle can be unfolded for us to understand. Now, look at our passage here. Again, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. What did the church of Corinth say about the leaven? They said it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Leaven's a good thing. What we're tolerating here is a good thing. We're reaching out into the community here. This boy, yes, what he's doing is wrong, but we're going to influence him and we're going to make him come out on the right side. The Bible makes very clear that my moral influence has no impact. And yet people don't believe that. They do not believe that. They think that their moral influence will somehow overcome that. A young lady starts dating a man that's not saved. And immediately she begins to excuse and she says this, you know what, I'm going to get him saved. I'm going to work really hard on him and I'm going to get him saved. And usually there's a conversion within a few weeks. He trusted Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And then 2 or 3 years down the road, we start seeing all kinds of trouble and problems and stuff because he made one of those church conversions to get him a church girl. Oh, that's happened over and over again millions of times. Some boy come girl looking. They want some pure, sweet girl so they can mess them up. And too many girls, so many times, they just, ooh, look at that boy. And they think, oh, the moral influence idea starts coming in. A little leaven does what? Leavens the whole lump. This is a biblical principle that we need to get a hold of because it's being forgotten today. It's being ignored. It's not believed by the church today and by people in the church. This principle here. Your glorying is not good. Literally, let's put it the negative here. Your glorying is no good. That's the emphasis here. There is no good in your glorying. Now notice back at verse 2. And ye are puffed up. Pride. Arrogance had come to play in these individuals' lives. This leaven had produced evil in a good church. This leaven tolerated had produced evil in a good church. I was reading an email from a friend from a church that I'm very familiar with that had a church split recently. What happened was is that there were a few deacons that got involved with this new Calvinism doctrine that's going around. So they began to talk to the pastor and said, you know, we're just too straight-laced around here. We got a lot of people in the church that don't like the music program, and we need to be doing some of the other stuff that the other churches are doing down there. And the pastor said, well, if that's how you feel, why don't you go to the other churches? Oh, well, we like this church. Well, obviously you don't like this church. If you want us to look like that church down the road, why don't you just go to that church? They weren't content to do that. And so the leaven went to work. And they started having secret meetings, unbeknownst to the pastor. He had told them, if this is what you want, then don't try to conform your church to your standard. You go down the street and go to a church that already has your standard. Does that make better sense? But they weren't content. You see, leaven's never content with that. Leaven wants to destroy what is right. That's what leaven does. It wants to destroy what is right. It's not content to go down the street and have what they have, which is what they want. They want you to conform to their ideas. That's how leaven works. What does leaven do to a lump? What does yeast do to a lump of dough? What does it begin to do? What does it cause? It causes it to rise. All right, which when you're making bread is a good thing. But when it's in spiritual realm, it's a bad thing. Ye are puffed up. This is a play on words having to do with the leaven. The yeast has done its work. There was enough moisture in the dough of the church of Corinth to allow this yeast to spread, and now they're puffed up like a big loaf of bread. What can you do? What did God do? He went and stuck His finger right in the middle of that dough bread. You ever done that? My mom sometimes would make bread, and sometimes we'd go peek in the oven, you know, when she just put it in, and slam the door. Guess what happens? Poof! How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay? Yeah. Open up that thing. Boy, you smell that smell. It starts to, it's risen in there and starting to open that thing up there to look at it, see how big it is. Bam! Okay. How many of you like the bread after it's fallen like that? You know? Concave. About this tall. Yeah, that's no good, is it? That's what God did. He stuck His finger right in the middle and said, we got a problem here. They were puffed up. The leaven had done its work. I'll finish my story. As a result of these secret meetings, half of the church left. And they scattered all over the place, leaving the pastor with just a group of people, half of the church that was remaining. And he had a meeting with those people and he said, are we going to go forward and do what's right or do I need to leave? And they said, Pastor said, we want you to stay. We're here to do what's right. We're so sorry that this happened. And they began to tell of how they were approached by these people. And what they did was they destroyed the authority of this book. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. The Bible doesn't say anything about rock music. The Bible doesn't say anything about CCM. And they started making these long lists about what they said the Bible doesn't say. They were looking for proof texts. And they were bypassing the principles of God's Word. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Boy, that's a standard that's given there. So if something's unholy, I'm going to stay with it. I don't care what name you put with the unholy. It's unholy. You don't mess with it. But you know what we've done today? We've redefined terms. And the leaven is spreading. So this church is starting over again. They've got a group of people that are faithful. The pastor's going on. They had to have a backdoor revival. And you know what's so sad? This pastor told me in his email to me, he said, you know what's sad is that many of those people aren't even going to church anymore. Isn't that interesting? They were looking for an excuse. They wanted to look spiritual, but they weren't spiritual. They wanted to have the trappings of spirituality, but they didn't have what was real, what was genuine. They had never latched on to the Lord Jesus Christ. At the church of Corinth, Paul confronted them and said, you have allowed sin to get rooted in your church. Leaven has got rooted in your church. It hasn't been removed. It needs to be removed. I witnessed this from afar and I can see exactly what it is. You need to get busy. I thank the Lord that the record was that this church did get to take care of the problem. But it's never easy. It's much better to do what? Never let the leaven get rooted. Never let it get started. Listen, folks, we're living in difficult days. Very difficult days. And little things make a big difference. Let me share again what the Bible has to say about little things. It is the little foxes that do what? Spoil the vines. The little cute foxes. Foxes are so cute. Big bushy tail. But I want to tell you something. When they're stealing good things, you ask someone that's trying to operate a vineyard and they've got little foxes that are in their vineyard, they don't think they're cute. They're out there with a shotgun. They're going to take care of business. They're stealing what they ought not to have. The Bible says that the little foxes spoil the vines. A little leaven that leavens the whole lump. It is a little faith, the Bible says, that keeps us from knowing victory in Christ. It is to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Isn't it interesting? The Bible puts that together. That's a phrase that comes from the book of Mark. He that forgiveth little things, the same loveth little. Can't forgive. Got a root of bitterness in your heart. Can't forgive. Bible says that a person that forgives little, loves little. They don't have a don't listen to their nonsense talking about how much they love Jesus when they can't forgive. They can't come to the place of forgiveness. We've talked about that many times. Little things not attended to can produce big problems. Inattention to little things can grow into big things. Here is where wisdom comes in to discern what is destructive and what is not. Just like a little root growing under a cement pad. I don't know if you saw a few weeks ago, there was a picture that went viral. This was up in the mountains of Tennessee. A hiker was going through and they found a big boulder where a pine tree had grown and split the big boulder in half, and the pine tree was standing right in the middle. This went viral on the internet. And talk about the seed had fallen down into the crack. And it fertilized, began to grow, and got bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden roots began to come out, and it began to split the rock. Now, if you or I went out there with a sledgehammer, it'd take us a lifetime to break that rock in half. But that little bitty seed got rooted in that rock and grew and was able to split that rock in half. The power of little things. Listen, there are going to be some sitting in this room tonight that are going to allow the seed of sin to get rooted in their life. It's going to split them right in half. It happens every day. It plays out every day. Little things ignored that are not dealt with by the Word of God. And the next thing you know, you're enjoying, not enjoying, but you're enduring the consequences of a little leaven. God wants us to learn from this passage. We're going to get in, Lord willing, next time, Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. I encourage you to read that passage. It talks about the leaven of the Pharisees. We're going to develop that thought. The leaven of the Pharisees, because that whole chapter deals with what leaven does. The leaven of the Pharisees. There are three things in that passage that the Lord Jesus shares with us about the leaven of the Pharisees and the results of it. And we might say, well, I'm not a Pharisee. Well, that's not the point. The point is the leaven that was present in the Pharisees and the consequences that it had. And Lord willing, we'll look at that.